The following program has been brought to you by Rolling Press, a family-run, eco-friendly printing company. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome, you've tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. You're listening to the Farm Report, and I'm your host, Erin Fairbanks. We are coming to you from the back of Roberta's Pizza in beautiful Bushwick, Brooklyn. And today is a very special day for a couple of reasons. One, because we have a lovely guest in studio, Claire Marin of Catskills Provisions. Claire, welcome to the studio.
Thanks, Erin. I love coming here. It's my second time, and I'm very excited.
Well, that's what we were just talking about. That's the other very special thing about today is we just found out from Jack that Claire was a guest on the Farm Report exactly 1 year ago to the day. So if you want to check out the last episode, it was episode 110 of the Farm Report, where we really tucked into some of her beekeeping prowess. But today, we're going to kind of go through a little bit of update and exploration on her business, Catskills Provisions. So, Claire, maybe we should start with a little bit of background on the business and what you guys do for listeners who aren't familiar.
Sure. Basically, I started the business because of a love for the products that are made in our great state of New York. And I sort of use, in my mind, Vermont as a model. You know, if Vermont could do it, why can't New York State do it? You know, we make great cheeses, we have lots of farmers, beautiful land. We were the hops capital of the world until, you know, blight hit us like in the 1800s. But you know what? Why can't we bring that back? You know, obviously the food movement that's going on in Brooklyn, it goes across all ages. You know, you see like 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds so fervently into food, and you know, they're foodies being born every minute. So it's really cool. You know, it's not just the 40-something crowd that has money to travel that has access to this. You know, we all have access to this stuff. So I was like, you know what, we really could do this. And I had been in publishing for 15 years. I was like, you know, sort of corporate, you know, it was just whatever. But I gained, you know, a lot of knowledge and about many things. But I really wanted to do something that was more of a give and take, you know, the land, people, unifying, an exchange of good things going on. And I got into beekeeping like 9 years ago. And honey was really the platform that we started with. And then maple syrup came about because our fall honey has so many maple notes in it that, you know, we decided to really look around, and our land is surrounded by maple trees. We're like, oh my God, you know, so the bees sort of gave us that hint, you know. But the motto of the company is happy bees make better honey, because it is very true. I think any happy anything makes a better product or has a better day or, you know, any of that. So I feel like a really happy bee that now I'm doing what I really want. you know, so that's wonderful. But it's also not, you know, just selling something. It's creating a relationship with people that you touch and, you know, developing relationships with everybody that you do business with. You know, business and humanity can go hand in hand. You know, they really can. You know, you can make money and also, you know, have a business that gives and takes. So basically, Catskills Provisions is a company that will always bring the best natural products available. We always promise to small batch everything. We do just about 98% of what we do by hand. We really feel it makes a big difference in the outcome of the product.
Yeah. So now the products that your line has expanded a little bit since last time we talked. So you have the honeys, you have the maple syrup, and you've got a couple of new things in the mix, right?
Yeah, we do. Speaking of mix, part of the reason why we made a really wonderful pancake mix with wheat that is grown and milled in New York State in Ithaca by Cayuga. We use Cayuga flour. And there are three ingredients in this. And it makes the fluffiest pancakes. Like, why does Bisquick have to have 29 ingredients, you know? And it's basically the flour, the baking powder, the salt. You know, you don't need all that much to make a great product. And I developed that because I was sort of disappointed with all the pancake mixes out in the market. I went out and I bought them all for our maple syrup, which has a very clean finish because it's a blend and blah, blah. And I wasn't really happy with it. It was like putting maple syrup on a cookie, you know. So I thought, you know, I want more savory something. So anyway, I developed this recipe with a good friend of mine who's an amazing chef, Heather Carlucci. And, you know, she's been amazing to work with. I love her very much. And we made this great pancake mix, and it's been embraced really by anybody that uses it. Every kid that eats one of those pancakes, it's like, oh my god, mom, that's all I want to eat, you know. So it's great. So I think we're doing a great thing with that.
And then you guys have some new sweets with your honeys, right, coming up. I'm just thinking, it's the first day of February. You know, Valentine's Day for me has always meant birthdays. I have two sisters who were born on Valentine's Day, but wow. I know for everyone else in the country, it means like sweetie sweets and lovey love. So yeah, you got a little sweet stuff happening for that. What's going on in that area?
Yeah, we do. So one of the things that I've always loved is dark chocolate. You know, it's been like a passion of mine for many years. And
I like your passion.
So yeah,
very aligned.
good. So I thought, you know, let me take some dark chocolate and dip it in our honey, you know. And I was like, oh my god, this, you know, you don't see honey mixing with chocolate so much. So it took about a year to develop the chocolate honey truffle made with our fall honey that really stands up to the darkness of the chocolate, you know. So I think we got a really good thing. We're doing very, very well. We just actually got into the Dean and DeLuca catalog, which is really cool for Valentine's and Easter.
Oh, congratulations.
So that's, you know, it's a good, because, you know, obviously you admire their taste buds are really good, and, you know, so, and so we're really excited about that. So one of the things that we did is, well, the perfect package would be, okay, for Valentine's, you know, so you give your sweetheart a box of truffles, of course, beautifully packaged. You know, packaging is very important, I think, for everything. And so the box is really pretty and impressive. And then we're like, well, hopefully you'll stay the night, obviously. And in the morning, you'll make her breakfast, make him breakfast, and you'll make them fabulous pancakes with our maple syrup. So we call this the seal the deal package for Valentine's Day.
Very cheeky.
You know, I mean, that's like, it's going to help you, you know, sort of move on with whatever
you're
doing.
Seal the deal. I love
it.
Seal the
deal. So you can get that on our website at catskillprovisions.com.
Awesome.
Right now.
Well, so one of the things that I'm struck by most of your product line is there's this real seasonal nature to everything you're doing, mm-hmm. and this really interesting kind of sense of terroir. You know, with the honey, with the maple syrup. And now I think, you know, you're really becoming part of this bigger conversation that's happening with regards to regional grains and fresh grains at that. And I wonder if you can talk a little bit, you know, this year, last year, weather has been so wonky. And how is that impacting the production of the honey and the maple? And, you know, maybe because it's your first year with the pancake mix, you've seen less of a shift there. But if you have something to share, we'd be curious.
Yeah, weather, obviously, you know, it's still farming. You know, you're growing something, and it just affects everything so much. So last year, for example, as far as the honey goes, we had a very wet spring. It was really, you know, it's just, so just imagine all the pollen is being washed off all the spring flowers. So the bees had a hard spring. Comb, for example, you know, we do extract some comb, not a whole lot, because we don't like to stress the bees too much, but that's created in the spring. And if you have a lot of comb or a lot of production, now you have comb that you could actually serve on a cheese plate or something like that. It's beautiful, and it's really, the flavor is wonderful. So I totally recommend that. But we didn't have a lot of it. We just actually totally sold out of anything. I can't find anything, you know, even from fellow beekeepers in the Northeast. So Northeast comb is basically like gone. I wouldn't want to like import it from the South, or, you know, I think the terroir of each area is super important for us to respect and to focus on, right? And then the maple syrup, last year we had 40% less production in New York State. Connecticut, for example, had flat to the year prior because it wasn't as wet there. So it's sort of interesting. We're caught in this band of wetness in New York State. This year, I believe, because of the cold that we've been having and the moisture of the spring, we will have a really good maple season. So, you know, with wheat, you're right. I'm not as up on, you know, exactly how the weather has affected it. We are planning to, you know, right now we're just doing all-purpose flour mix, but we're going to move into buckwheat and, you know, a couple of other things. So we'll know a little bit more about that in about a year or so.
Cool. Well, I want to come back and talk about the pancake mix a little bit more, but before we do that, you know, I know maple syrup is kind of, season is kind of coming up, and what you're looking for with the maple syrup is the, you know, freezing nights and warm days, and mm-hmm. we were chatting a little bit in the studio that's also you need the warmer days for the bees as well, which I didn't realize. So
yeah, totally. The bee like knows all, you know, they're so wise. It's unbelievable. I mean, obviously, you know, centuries in development, obviously, but you know, so given that, I think there are just so many things that you could learn about them, but they need 50 degrees or higher to step out of the hive and relieve themselves and take care of things, you know, which they will not do in the hive, no matter how long it takes, you know, even if it's like 2 months.
They can hold it forever.
They will just hold it forever. Unfortunately, if it's if it's too long, which it really rarely is, because nature does give us one rogue day, which usually in February, there's like, you know, we're freezing for months, you know, and then all of a sudden you get that 50 degrees for half an hour. All bees in that area, that moment, all go out of the hive. So it's a really interesting thing, and it keeps them obviously going. I've checked on all our hives in the last, like, you know, the past month. I just do, you know, some of them every day, and basically they're all alive. We haven't lost any hives yet to cold and all that. So I think the conditions have been really, really good this year. So I'm looking forward to a good season.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then kind of tucking back into the grain and the pancake mix conversation. Now, you said you were working with Cayuga. I'm curious, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, when you decided to look around for a pancake mix? Were they the obvious choice, the only choice? A little, how did that kind of partnership start?
Well, I've been a great admirer of what they do. I think their pricing is really good. There's a lot of passion behind that company. You know, it's still the same people that started it, that run it, that, you know, so I think there's a really good vibe there. And I thought, you know, it is upstate. I'm trying desperately to bring as much revenue upstate as possible, because obviously, you know, we're, you know, under the cloud of possible fracking. And I think if the state realizes how much we grow and make, that could totally be affected negatively by fracking. There may be an option. There may be another choice, you know. So I've been very, very focused on that area. And I've tried other flours, and I love their consistency. It's really fluffy. It's always, you know, always the same. And you know, I like working with them a whole lot.
That's like one of those interesting products that, like, as we engage more and more in thinking about where our food comes from, the idea of like a fresh flour or a fresh grain is kind of, for me, I feel like a belated glimpse of the obvious, but I'm sure definitely in parts both kind of some of the texture components that you're seeing, but also the flavor. So
yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, look, I'm always amazed. Like if you make one of these pancakes, you're just like amazed. It just rises by itself. It's not, you know, and even if you don't, the baking powder, yes, of course it affects it, but even if you made just with the flour, I've done it. And it just, the flour itself is just like wonderful because, you know, it hasn't been packed in big, huge vats and thrown in a truck and brought in from South Dakota, North, wherever, you know, and thrown in, you know, in a warehouse for months and climate controlled or not climate controlled. You know, it's just, this is basically grown, milled, and within 60 days, it is in a bag on your table, hopefully. So that makes a huge difference.
Hopefully on your breakfast table, you know, February 15th. If you want to get that Seal the Deal package, you can find that and all of her wares at www.catskillsprovisions.com. So packaging. You touched on that earlier. So I know, you know, you guys are in your second year of business.
Yep.
Second year. Can you talk a little bit? I mean, when you started, you were packing in your apartment, and has the business grown? I mean, obviously you've brought on new products, and the packaging, I will have to say, is beautiful. The truffle box.
Thank you.
I felt, you know, full disclosure, I did get pre-sent a box of truffles, which I, you know, I was remiss to share, but did. And then the box is so pretty. I'm like trying to figure out something to do with it or where to put it. But can you talk a little bit about the actual kind of packing process and then the actual packaging?
Yeah, I mean, we really, you know, in the last 2 years, I basically was doing just about everything. So deliveries, for example, were really important for me to do for the first year, almost to like a couple of months ago. I just proudly hired two people here in New York City and one upstate, besides the beekeepers, obviously, that we work with. And I, you know, I'm very happy about that. Like, there's a lot of, you know, a nice amount of money flowing through Casco Provisions to people, to, you know, it's pretty neat. And I have to thank everybody that has been very loyal clients for us. The chefs that we supply have been amazing, but I think to that, I want to add that the personal touch of the person, the founder of the company, that is so important to creating a really good relationship, both in company and outside of the company. Like, I, you know, I see those chefs like once a week, every week, you know, for the last 2 years. So the relationships are there. It's, you know, we learn a lot from each other. We talk about, you know, weather-wise or effects of the weather, just like we did. So we have similar conversations as what we're having this morning. And it's, you know, I think a really good way for them to understand the product and what goes into making it. You know, it's really important. I think the founder's going to give you that, not the guy that you're going to hire just to do your deliveries or whatever. But I think it's daunting to think of how many things you have to do. So you have to create the product, you have to pack it. Now, I, you know, take the beekeeper's hat off. Now, collect the honey. It's we put them basically in barrels. And then from the barrel goes to a 60-pound bucket. And then from that bucket, we put it in a filling bucket. And basically, it has a spout. So it's really done by hand. It really is. Because honey, if you don't heat it, it doesn't liquefy so much. You know, it tends to crystallize with cold, with, you know, change in temperature. Because it's raw. You didn't heat it. So it's got all its goodness and antibacterial properties and all that. So you definitely should buy raw honey always. But, of course, we can't put it through any hoses or packing anything. So it's done by hand. Like, yesterday I was doing it, and I was like, can you take a photo of this? Like, this is the coolest thing, you know, because it's like they, you know, it's a beautiful product. Obviously, the colors and all that are really nice. But every jar gets done that way, you know. And our hexagonal jar, which we love and we're very, you know, into holding on to, can't really go through a labeling machine because it doesn't roll easily. So that's why you see a lot of new products like in round, you know, everything's round. And of course, then our maple syrup bottles are square. So there you go again. So like a little challenge with that too. But I think it adds to the lack of overproduction that's going on with us and our products and all that too. And also the pancake mixes are, you know, obviously, you know, we do these things in kitchens that are, you know, rated and all that stuff. But I think, you know, it matters that you have, you know, human hands doing these things, you know.
I'm curious, you mentioned the shape of the honey jar and the shape of the maple syrup bottle. When you chose those, I mean, were you making just an aesthetic decision and then you were like, oh shit, the labeling is going to be a pain in the butt now? I mean, how did that, do you wish you would have, like, I mean, you know, magic wand kind of had that information, or did you have that information and just say whatever? How did that?
I honestly didn't have that information when I chose a hexagonal jar. I think it's something that it's underused. You don't see it that much, you know, and I thought, wow, it's kind of old world, a little bit European sort of. I thought it's beautiful. I like it. You know, the black cap, the orange. So I didn't go to the next thought, which would have been, well, when I get really like big, you know, how am I going to do this? I really thought, you know what, this is where my honey belongs, and that's that. So I think there's an honesty to that is part of the success. You know, it really is. People love that. The fact that, you know, you did this because this is what you love and that's what you do. So part of what happens with that plan is that I can't really increase honey production to, you know, thousands and millions of gallons, let's say, you know. So so what we've done now is basically looked at, okay, our business plan a little bit, you know, where do we go next? It's 2 years. Let's create products that are extensions of honey and maple syrup. Sweeteners, you know, we're sweetening wonderful things with honey and maple syrup instead of sugar or high fructose corn syrup or corn syrup or corn starch, any of those things, you know. So, you know, we feel that, you know, mom and the kid and anyone else is going to be healthier if they're eating, you know, things that are just more natural, right? So we've discovered that maple syrup makes an amazing, for example, simple syrup, right, to sweeten cocktails. Mm-hmm. So we have these cocktail recipe cards, you know, so we've made many cocktails with this stuff, trust me, a lot, and I test them all a few times, really delicious stuff. And then cocktail rimmers with our maple sugar and different blends, you know, so we've blended it with like ancho, maple, cayenne maple, and cinnamon and maple. So also so those are out now, right, and CD10, so you could just kind of, you know, do your glass. And we're rolling out also meat and veggie rubs with this, you know, with these sort of concoctions, the maple sugar with something else. So I actually made a pork loin this week that was like outrageous with the cinnamon and maple one. It was outrageous. It was so delicious. So there are a lot of different things that we can do. And then the next thing too is going to be marinades made, you know, sweetened with our honey and maple syrup as well.
The possibilities are endless.
No, it's true. I swear to God, if I, you know, like I said to you before, like if I woke up at 2 a.m., I would have something to do until like in 24 hours I could be up, you know. It's like, it's wild. It's fun.
Well, we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the relationship building and the business retailing side of what you're doing.
Fantastic.
So hang tight.
Okay.
Oh, baby, come on. And now we ain't too young.
You're listening to All Night Long by the California Honey Drops on heritageradionetwork.org.
It's all right.
The following program has been brought to you by Rolling Press, a family-run, eco-friendly printing company. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
All right, we are back in the studio. You're listening to the Farm Report on the Heritage Radio Network. We are chatting with Claire Marin of Catskills Provisions. Now, Claire, you know, before the break, you're talking a little bit about the importance of the owner being out there, being the person doing the deliveries, really taking the lead and being the face of the company. And I'm curious if you can talk a little bit about, you know, how you started opening up some of these relationships, working with chefs, working with retailers. I mean, did you find that they were waiting with open arms, like we've been desperately seeking honey, or was it a harder sell? And maybe just kind of chatting a little bit about how that process has gone over the last 2 years.
Yeah. Well, I started really with chefs because I wanted, I respect them a lot. you know, and the work that they do, and it's difficult, and they really have to have so much passion for what they do, otherwise they would never do it. Basically, you know, having their validation was huge for me. You know, I just felt like, excellent. You know, that fueled me a lot. You know, when a chef that I respect, like, let's say Mark Meyer, Cook Shop and Five Points and 100 Acres, would actually say, I love your product. It's really, you know, it's an honor, you know, to carry these guys, you know. So I really love that a whole lot. I think their honesty has been incredible. Their support, Dan Kluger, for example, at ABC Kitchen is super supportive. Like, really, when I'm sitting down with him, like, I just, you know, cold called him. I like what he does, and he, you know, sat with me and, like, just talked to me for like half an hour, you know, totally interested in what we do and how we do it and all that stuff. I, you know, there's that mutual passion for what we each do and what each other does, you know. So it was a really nice, again, exchange. I think in the retail arena, there's something missing a little bit. You know, once you get away from, like, the smaller store, like the single, you know, Stinky, for example, you know, like a, you know,
Stinky Brooklyn.
Yeah. They're there, you know, you husband and wife, and they do their thing. And I think when you get into the bigger ones, it's a little bit difficult. For example, you know, not to be a negative example at all, but I think if you're talking to somebody like a Citarella, let's say, or something, you know, it's just, it's impersonal. It's not, you know, you're not really meeting with someone. I think Whole Foods, for example, is doing an amazing job now that they actually have like a focused forager for each region. It's freaking fabulous, yeah. You know, of them to think about that, because otherwise it's impossible for them to have contact with a farmer. Like, who do you call? What do you do? You know, and so they're making great strides in that way, and also a lot of focus in the organics and all that stuff, you know, and conscious capitalism. You know, again, I totally agree with that. You know, it's cool to make money. It's great to, you know, earn a good living and do good things. But it's really good if you give back. There's that give and take. It's not just, here's my product, let me take the money, and that's it, and, you know, send me the order, you know, whenever you need it. So one retailer that I think is making, I'm a great admirer of Italy. And I love Italy, you know, the country and the food and the wine and the people. I just love Italy, you know. And for years, so all of a sudden Italy opens up, and I'm like, oh my God, I got to see my products in here. This is like, you know, and it was like a year and a ago at least that they opened, if not longer. And I thought, wow. And I've been sort of, you know, admiring it and accosting some of the buyers there, you know, when I go there, I'm like, hi, this is my honey, you know. And so we're actually, I'm proud to say, we are going to be part of something that they do that's really cool. It's a second annual New York Eat Local Farm Day on February 8th. We will be there with other local farmers that they buy from. And so it would be a cool day for anybody to go, and they're, you know, and they put our stuff on sale and all that. But for a week, they sell these things. Now, it's hard for a store to do that, you know. It's a huge effort, right? Because now you're focusing on 6-7 products, and you're, you know, bringing them to the forefront. But there's a give and take there, because they're taking their customer base, their Facebook, their push, and sharing it with us, you know. So there's a co-sale going on, you know, a promotion of what we do, and not just come to Italy, you know. So it's, I would love to see more stores doing things like that. I think consumers would love it, because you're giving them, you know, a very fair price.
Well, yeah, and you're looking, you're creating an exchange that goes beyond the, yep, the cash, and more of a collaborative, you know, storytelling piece too, which I, yeah, think is powerful for the retailer, but also giving you a platform to share the work you're doing, and the producers that you're working with allows you to talk about issues that are really pertinent to the region where you're working.
Totally. I mean, you know, we're actually going to be there 12 to 6 all day, like, discussing this. And they're encouraging us to talk about issues, not just the product, you know, with consumers that come in. And people are so into listening, you know, like they really are, you know, people are really, what goes in it? Where do you grow it? Who is it? How do you do it? You know, that kind of thing. We have people up to the farm all the time. And if you ever, you know, want to come up and check it out, we do have chickens and we raise our own chickens now. So it's not just for eggs, but it's, you know, both. I have to get past that. I'm a carnivore thing, and but I love them as pets. So I stopped naming them. I did stop doing that. But and then I'm my own turkeys, you know. So for the holidays, I have turkey, you know, a turkey that I raised. And then, of course, the bees, tons of that. So
great. Well, we are just about out of time. But, you know, I'm curious. You've talked a little bit about this. But you know, next steps for Catskill Provisions. What's the future hold? What are you kind of getting excited about in the next couple of years?
Well, I'm super excited about this marinade line that we're doing. Really, you know, pretty cool stuff. Like one of them is a fig balsamic honey marinade that is, you know, it's just so simply made and so outrageous. You want to put it on everything. So we're going to have that coming out any minute. Barbecue sauce, we're actually packing it all up in the next 2 weeks. So, you know, look out for a launch on that. And I think, you know, developing a few more products, not a whole lot. I mean, I'd like to definitely work on establishing better relationships with consumers directly, obviously. Our website has gotten so much better, and there are a lot of more recipes and blogging going on, which is really good. So, you know, we're better poised to do all those things now, you know, so you'll see a lot more growth in that way.
Cool. Great. Well, definitely, if you're out there looking for the perfect seal the deal Valentine's Day gift, visit them at www.catskillsprovisions.com. Claire, thanks so much for making the trip out to Bushwick on this cold morning, and we look forward
to
sitting down with you again, maybe a year from now.
Yeah, perfect. thank you.
This has been another episode of The Farm Report. It, like all 27 of our live weekly shows, can be found as a free download through iTunes or on Stitcher Smart Radio. We are a member-supported organization. If you like what you hear, we hope that you'll consider supporting us by clicking the Donate tab on our website, www.heritageradionetwork.org. Thanks so much for listening, and tune in next week for another episode of The Farm Report.
The Farm Report theme song is courtesy of Obesity. You've been listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. What's hot at the green market? You're about to find out now. It's the Grow NYC Market Update.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to the Grow NYC Market Update. We are on the line with Liz Carollo of Grow NYC's Green Market. Liz, what is shaking?
Hey, Aaron. Everything's great, you know? Just getting ready for another big superstorm, I guess.
tis the season. I guess I need to check my weather report. Well, what should we be out at the market stocking up on to be prepared to snuggle up at home?
Well, I want to talk about today an item that does a bunch of different things. It stays fresh and bountiful all year long. It's delicious in a wide variety of ways and fits into just about every diet type, and that's seafood. This weekend's the Chinese New Year, so a lot of families will be preparing whole fish. It represents a sign of prosperity, and prosperity, especially for our farmers and fishermen, sounds lovely to me, so I wanted to talk about seafood and shellfish today.
Nice. So I know from my travels around different green markets that you have a couple different seafood vendors, so maybe you can tell us who we should be looking for.
Great. Yeah, we have 5 seafood vendors in our program. They're all from Long Island. They fish the mid-Atlantic waters in the Atlantic and the Long Island Sound. Today I want to highlight Rob Williams and his business, which is called Seatuck Fisheries. Rob's family started fishing way back in the 1880s, with Rob starting around 1984, and his son is now learning the ropes. So their motto is fresh, never frozen. Everything's caught seasonally and locally. So right now they have an abundance of flounder, cod, pecanic-based scallops. They're out in those frigid waters twice a week during the winter, and then you can find Rob or one of his many family members that works the stand for him at 3 Brooklyn Green Markets this winter, Carroll Gardens, Cortelyou, and Grand Army.
Nice. And I know with seafood in particular, you know, there's so much information about out there about what we should or shouldn't eat and what is or isn't safe. So, I mean, what questions should we be asking, and do we need to worry about the fish that we're purchasing at the green markets?
Yeah, that's great. Green market customers, they care so much about traceability and accountability in their produce and meat products, and it's equally important to wonder the same thing about where your seafood and shellfish is coming from. To anyone out there who might be unconvinced by that, I would encourage them to read at least one article about the global seafood market, and I promise they would then be the first in line at the fish stand on the next Saturday morning. To raise awareness of these issues, we partner with the Northeast Atlantic Marine Alliance to host the Seafood Throwdown, which you hosted at our Grand Army Plaza market last summer. Yep, it was really fun, and you know, we have chefs kind of face off cooking a surprise seafood dish. But what NAMA does, they bring attention to local fisheries. They advocate for small commercial fisheries and the local marine environment. And the partnerships like the one we have with them are essential to Green Market because they allow us to work with other organizations that are ensuring our producers, farmers, and fishermen alike have safe and clean land and water, while we can continue to do our work to provide retail opportunities to those small producers so that Rob and eventually his son and many other producers and farmers out there have an outlet to sell in the city. And there's, of course, other innovative models like community-supported fisheries, which is kind of coming up now. They're like a seafood and shellfish buying club modeled after CSAs. So they're also providing small-scale fishermen and women with opportunities to sell their product, which is, I think, very important to grow and create more small fishing businesses within our region. We certainly have enough people in the city and could use different models, you know, as many as possible.
Yeah, sure. More fish. The more fish, more better, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, what do you recommend? I mean, cooking-wise, I think I grew up, you know, eating a fish on the grill, but what else should we be looking to do with the different fish that we can get at the market?
Yeah, me too. I grew up, my dad's a fisherman also, and I loved cooking fish at home with him after being out on the boat all day. And I gotta say, I walked through the market one day, and one of our fishermen, Rick Lofstad, talked me into eating a raw bay scallop. And I was a little apprehensive, but it was surprisingly buttery and meaty and delicious. But if I'm gonna buy some, I would recommend a little bit of heat cooking it at home. You also could never just eat a scallop, you know, unless a fisherman is handing it to you or you're picking out the water yourself. I wouldn't recommend anybody do that. But if you're going to cook it at home, I would say the best way is really a little bit of olive oil and butter in a pan or skillet, and just when it's about to smoke, lay the scallops flat. So they caramelize on the bottom really nicely, and then as you go to turn them, they really shouldn't stick at all. And then after they're done caramelized on both sides, you can add pesto or light wine sauce or just eat them by themselves. And, you know, people out there, a lot of people think that cooking and preparing meals can take such a long time and it'll take up your whole evening, but this dish takes less than 10 minutes, makes you feel like you're eating like a king. So, yeah, it's very simple ways to prepare fresh food.
Oh, delicious. So, awesome. Get out there this weekend, stock up on some fish, get ready for what sounds like is an impending storm. I hope that won't get in the way of any events and whatnot that you have going on over the weekend or coming up. What should we be looking forward to? Lots of holidays on the forefront here.
Yeah, I know. For it being February and usually pretty quiet around here, we have 4 big events in the next week that we're going to be celebrating at all of our markets. We have the Tibetan New Year, and of course we have a ton of Tibetan farm stand workers that work at all of our markets and for a variety of farmers. So we'll be celebrating the Tibetan New Year with them, and then the Chinese New Year, we're going to have hot pots at a number of markets, and then of course Fat Tuesday is next week, so lots of sausage and veggies and of course seafood for gumbo and jambalaya, so people can stock up with that stuff at the market. And then next week is also Valentine's Day, so we're talking maybe some honey for your honey or an apple for the apple of your eye, or maybe just making your sweetheart a really nice market inspired dinner, going to one of the many restaurants that shops at the market, and a list of those restaurants is on our website as always.
Awesome, Liz. Thanks for that great update. Look forward to checking with you again next Thursday.
Great.
In the meantime, if you want to find out more about what's going on at the market, take a look at volunteer opportunities, recipes, or ways to get involved, you can find them at www.grownyc.org. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr. Just get out there, get engaged with the green market, and tune in next week for another episode of the Grow NYC Market Update.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.